Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, the rippling podcast where we throw spaghetti at the wall and it's up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. Today's episode, we will be discussing wizarding schools, magic schools, any young adult magical fiction setting. I feel like most of them end up there at some point in time.
Or are entirely based there.
That's also true. A lot of boarding school. I think a lot of people have a lot of issues with boarding school and express it through this type of fiction.
Especially, I guess, if you live in the UK.
Yeah.
Obviously, Hogwarts is the biggest of them all. And I don't think we need to explain that one to you.
No, I don't think we need to explain it. As a school, I actually think Hogwarts is incredibly boring. Reminiscing about it, not actually that interesting of a school in terms of how they actually teach.
Yeah.
In terms of how they actually, like, yeah, sure, they've got moving castles and talking paintings. Woo-hoo-hoo. That's all fucking set dressing. That actually has zero impact on the nature of education. They still sit in a fucking classroom. These people they can turn into cats, and they're making you write essays on scrolls of parchment? What is, no. This is, Hogwarts is the biggest waste of an opportunity.
Welcome to this week's episode of Harry Potter Hot Takes, starring Ethan.
Ethan has shockingly strong opinions on very small things.
I think everybody has shockingly strong opinions on Harry Potter world building, including us. And that's an interesting take, and I'm not going to disagree with it.
Their
classroom teaching is kind of shitty.
Right.
It's usually just, hey, just copy this.
You have to go buy fucking textbooks.
Yeah.
Why?
They're magic.
Like, at least the fucking... So the other thing I will say, and let's talk about something that is at least a little bit more interesting. I think because they're described as space wizards, that this counts, that the Jedi Temple counts as a wizarding school or a magic school.
Yeah.
Because they do have a combination. They have libraries. They have things, you know, but there's also... It's a very varied type of education. They do have some academic and historical learning, but it's also very physical. It's also very spiritual, and they are based with a master. And most importantly, they have holocrons where they can store, like, you could have a conversation and learn physics from Albert Einstein. Like, why is this? There are ghosts. Why are we writing on parchment? Why are we reading books? And why are they written as books and then we're writing in parchment? It makes no sense, Kyle.
You're 100% right.
It's all bullshit.
Why aren't you talking to the ghost of Godric Gryffindor?
Thank you.
Why is he not teaching
class?
Thank
you.
These are good hot takes.
The daughter of Rowena Ravenclaw is one of the ghosts of Hogwarts. That feels to me like she would have some thoughts and big opinions about what her mother would have done.
Yeah.
Like, why? No. Bullshit. Okay. Absolute hogwash. Well, I was going to say, which would also be a good name for a wizarding school is hogwash.
Yeah. In an episode that never made the air, we had a great wizarding school that we came up with called Blog Farts, which was a parody of Hogwarts. If you want to hear more about Blog Farts, let us know.
As Kyle. Kyle remembers, I forgot.
We'll release the tape if we get enough information or enough requests.
Release the blog fart cut.
Release the blog fart cut. Zack Snyder, you got that wrong front of your money. And then there's so many just nondescript, typical, this is just a wizard school. And where it's like, there's the college of this, there's the college of that, and there's a college,
which
Skyrim has this, yeah. The Magicians is, I think, definitely Terrible. I don't like the Magicians. It has this.
What if Harry Potter said, fuck that Magicians?
Yeah. The Name of the Wind also has the exact same thing.
I never read that.
It's great. But there's a place called The University, creatively named, and it's kind of just the same shit. Where it's like, oh yeah, it's a school where people learn magic. Which, the magic is more grounded.
Because I get it. The point, and there's something to be said here from a world building perspective where you don't want your setting, unless the point of your story is to explore the exact nature of the setting is just a setting to tell the story, right?
Yeah.
That's why Hogwarts works, because we still understand the basic premise of classes, homework, essays, tests, so that we're not worried about that.
But they're also not fantasy books. They're mystery books, so with a fantasy setting.
Right. But you see my point.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Like, so, there's no, like, yeah, yeah. We've established the Hogwarts of it all pretty adamantly here, but mm-hmm. it's a pretty universal concept. You get it. You're smart. Right? Right?
Yeah, no, they're way smarter than us.
Can you guys want to take over? You guys want to come in? Yeah. Just write us and let us know if you want to take over.
Understudy.
Anyway, shout out quickly to, I assume you want to give a shout out to X-Men and Charles Xavier School of the, for the gifted, talented, whatever the fuck it's called.
For gifted youngsters?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to that. Always. Also a fun magic school.
Yes, very much so.
But all right, give me your tease.
Zen Buddhism.
Okay.
What about you?
Miss Frizzle goes capitalist.
Say more. Go first. Keep going.
Okay. Magic School Bus. If you've never seen it.
On the Magic School Bus.
It's great. PBS. The 90s? Question mark?
80s. 90s. Late 80s, 90s.
Yeah. But
Lizzie was her familiar. That's for sure. She was definitely some sort of eldritch being. And Lizzie the Lizard was absolutely her familiar. That's been established.
Okay. But it is a class gets on this magic school bus that can teleport them into anywhere and everywhere. I remember specifically the episode where they go inside the human body.
Not just the human body. They go inside their classmate's body.
Yeah.
Which feels like a huge invasion of privacy to me.
They also go to Neptune or Pluto.
Uranus.
Yeah, they go to Uranus.
My anus.
Yeah, your anus. But anyway, so it's a magic school bus where they use to learn. So take that concept.
It's based on, what's cool about it, it's experiential learning.
Take that concept. And this is a wizard school that exists in a demiplane.
Mm.
It's in its own plane of existence, this little pocket dimension.
I'm already intrigued.
And because it's a pocket dimension, it can open up basically anywhere. It just kind of moves around this liminal, like, astral sea space. I don't know. The logistics of how it moves, I don't know. But it does move. And while it's doing that, there's a school just happening right here. You know, imagine you walked onto, we'll use it as a benchmark here, but like you walked onto the Hogwarts grounds and there's a school there, but the Hogwarts, like the grounds are moving and they're just going to go to another place and they arrive and then the dimension kind of opens up again and you can just exit out into that place. So you can go from New York to LA in like 2 hours. It'll just pop up. Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. So the school exists here, and this ability exists here. But then the school is using this feature to fund its existence because it will teleport places and then charge people transport and say, hey, next stop, like a ship in the olden times, be like, where are you going? Where are you taking your cargo next? And the people could hop on and pay a fee to join you. They're showing up in New York and saying, hey, we're going to Miami now. If you'd like to go to Miami, like, here's the rate. And you can just get inside the demiplane, sit there for a little bit, and then they go to Miami, you can get out.
Okay, but where does the teaching happen? How does the teaching
work? The teaching is happening right there, like, right around this. This is, like, they are doing the teleportation as a part of, like is experiential learning. Like, the students are doing this. The school was existing like as a part of this demiplane. So it's like they're all coexisting. But the point of it being that like there is a public dynamic with the school. I'm not so focused on the mechanics of the school itself. I'm focused on the way the school is interacting with the greater world, because it's also these opportunities for people to understand these wizards and to meet them and for these kids to meet people and to talk to them and learn from them as they come through, because that's part of the experience. Is they come in and they'll sit down, they'll chat with them, like kind of just get like socializing them a bit with the regular world, but then they're also frequently moving to new locations to learn stuff at that location. So you're teleporting, you know, like you're going through the demiplane and showing up at the far-flung edge of the world, and you might not have any passengers for that, but you're going there and you're like going out and you're like studying this glacier, and you are like learning ice magic on this glacier, and then you get back in the demiplane and you go somewhere else and you go learn things like around the world, but you then are like getting, you know, extra supplies and all that no one's paying anything to be there, and they also have magic so they can do shit, but then they're using like this income from this like passenger ship element to get more for them as well.
So I am sort of envisioning this. I see what you're saying, and I like it. I think to tighten it a little bit, what if it was whoever you're traveling with, whoever is the person, you know, the ice mage that needs to go to the glacier for some reason. Yeah. Uh-huh. It is experiential learning in that they are the teacher.
Yeah.
And so it is very explicitly every day, just like Miss Frizzle would take you to Neptune. They have to go. They might be a science researcher. They might be a soldier. They might be a whatever their profession is. They're going to learn how to do that thing. So you might have kids assisting a demon hunter, hunting a demon.
Interesting.
Like they are helping them do their jobs.
Yeah.
It's like a large scale apprenticeship program.
Yeah.
Almost, but it's just
all centered around magic.
All centered around magic, but just different every day. So there is someone coordinating who the different people are.
Yeah.
So it's all field learning. But like if you might go and do an archaeologist, you know, do magical archaeology in the sands of Thenior. I'm making shit up. But then, you also have to learn about sealing magic because someone accidentally releases the ancient mummy king. And so you have to reseal.
I thought you meant sealing like the thing above us. And I was like, sealing magic? What the fuck are you talking about?
Kyle's brain is experiencing technical difficulties.
It's the most limited form of magic possible.
It's actually very important. I mean, how do you? I don't understand architecture enough.
But
to
what
know
you
how.
Do, you just but you only can move ceilings. You can't move walls. You just move ceilings,
dude. Intense levitation.
Yeah, but then you can't move floors either. So you can only move the ceiling, but you can't move it above the floor above it.
I'm saying that I think that would take more work than you're giving it credit for.
True. Sure.
That's what I'm saying. Don't put yourself down.
I'm putting ceilings down.
When they, you I should be putting them up. They're above. Yeah. They're by nature, they're up.
Yeah, but
you put a ceiling down, it just becomes a floor, man.
Fuck. Well, it depends on what side of it you're on.
Ceiling temporarily floor. Apologies for the convenience.
Shout out to Mitch Hedberg. I think that's really cool. I didn't not having it be structured classrooms that you then happen to do field trips where it's everything is experiential.
Right.
Especially if it's a demiplane, they can be somewhere new every single day.
And the wizards need this demiplane to get to where they're trying to go.
Yeah. So
like that might be the only way for the archaeologist to reach, the sands of
Enthenior?
Enthenior.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can still be capitalist and charge people for the access and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I think that is,
and there are chaperones.
Yes, there's so they are, and like they're not necessarily always going from like place to place. It's like a population center. So it's like if you're at a population center, you might scoop up people and then go to another population center and like adjust the schedule for a couple of days just to kind of like get some people moving around, make some money, resupply, and then you spend like 2 weeks out in the middle of nowhere going to these remote places. And I don't think you need to go to a different place every day. You could stay the same place for a couple of days, as long as you have like enough of an itinerary to do.
I think it depends it'll depend on the nature of the task that the instructor wizard needs to complete.
Yes. And then, but my point being that like some days you might not be doing field work. You're like, well, on day one, we went to the archaeological site, we saw it, but like, and we taught kids how to do it, but like the older students, they can continue to help us because they have the skills to do it. The younger kids have learned what they need to learn. Now we're going to send them back to just do some reading. Yeah. So day two, they're not going to help. They're just going to read. And you can kind of divvy up, like much like in say Harry Potter, where you have the different years having the different classes and stuff and like different levels of responsibility, or like any schooling. You do the same thing where you segment it and you say, you know, kids like under this age, you're going to go this way. Mm-hmm. Kids older than that, you will go this way. And then you have other professors or teachers who aren't like, this isn't their gig. They're not the archaeologist. They'll be chaperoning. They'll be like, I'm on duty to make sure that like you guys don't go get lost in Enthenior because you'll die.
Right.
Unless you're a trained mage and you aren't trained yet. You're learning. think it's pretty cool.
I like that. No, I like the use of, I like the experiential learning. I like that it's still got a group, you know, you could still do a set a story there because I think it is still analogous enough to standard Earth education. That was a sentence I wasn't expecting to say today. That, like, you could still have someone show up there and be like, oh, today we're going to San Sebastian, or tomorrow we're going to the moons of Blagdor, and
today we have a substitute, so we're gonna watch a movie.
Yeah, we're gonna stare at this crystal ball for a while. But you could, but it still holds enough of a structure that it is
relatable.
Yeah, that it's intuitable.
Yeah, and I guess I want to emphasize or kind of like more explain the public element that I'm trying to bring into it, which is that I like the idea of a wizard school that doesn't feel remote or set apart. Mm. A Hogwarts or a Professor Xavier school or whatever. Like, these are places that are like any magic school is like this foreign place that's far away and removed and very exclusive. And I wanted to make it where like you can absolutely interact with these people. They will come through your town. And you can like you can meet them, you can walk in, you can actually enter the grounds and like you can explore a bit under, you know, limitations, but creating this like this give and take where they're not feared in the same like, or they're not like that they can create a
relationship. They're not isolated.
Yeah, and they can create a relationship with people, and people might learn to fear them, being like, oh, they can do some crazy shit. This is powerful. But they also learn to love them by being friends with them or by having pleasant times with them. And just creating that dynamic, which I think is often lost in the wizard schools, that like, you know, like they're often just like college towns, as opposed to like a city university, and like having a university in a city where the kids don't really have as much of like a campus life, but they're ingrained with the city more, and they have jobs and internships, and like they're like more of a part of the fabric of like this bigger community.
Yeah, it's a city campus, like an NYU,
or a Georgetown,
or a Georgetown, where like it is part of this thing. It is, these things are you cannot live in this area without interacting with them in some way.
And in this case,
for better or for worse,
it doesn't matter where you live. You have the opportunity to interact with them because they'll come through as a group, and they might do like a lesson, which is just, we're walking through this major town going to a blacksmith because we're going to learn about like smithing for a day as a part of a bigger lesson we're doing on some like magical concept. So we're going to go like see the practical versions of things, or we're going to this library that the king has. So we're going to go to the king's castle in the capital, and we're all going there. Come on, you know, like, and you just kind of march around the town, and then you like interact with random people, and then grab people and be like, "Hey, we're going to the next town. You guys, who wants a ride? Get on in. It's gonna cost you 5 gold."
Right. I dig that. I like that. Yeah. I like both of those.
And then
of those elements of it. I'm gonna finish my spot. I'm sorry.
And then I'm liking the idea that like inside the grounds, like near where like the entrances to the demiplane, there is like a waiting room, like a lounge, which is like, this is where the travelers get to hang out. Like this is where you sit and you can kind of just like look over at our school. But like, if you just want to chill and you're like, there's a quick trip, here's your airport lounge.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
Just we'll be there in just a few moments, you know, like.
Or like little magical vendors and food shops. And
yeah, like that's
selling absurdly expensive wands that have no real value.
Yeah, it's like when you're in a train station.
Yeah,
it's kind of just that.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
I like that. I'm sort of Have you flown through Dubai before?
No.
Dubai, I always love when people are like, "Oh, it's such a great airport." I'm like, it's not really an airport. It's more a mall that just happens to have flights coming in and out of it.
I've flown through Doha, and Doha's very similar.
It's
the same, where it's like, this is a lot of fucking stores.
It's like,
and they're all really fancy.
Exactly. And it's like, this is I know this is technically an airport, but technically it feels more like, just like a center of commerce.
Well, it's like the airport is like on one side, and then there's nothing there but gates.
Yeah.
And but there's like 50,000 of them. And then there's just like, here is where you would lounge, and here it's all commerce.
Right.
And it's like, no mingling.
I'm getting a similar vibe, except if you mingled them. If you had
that is
gates.
Not what I was expecting, but or you mean specifically for the waiting area?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. So, no. And well, and it also reminds me, there are programs that will have that will have, they're starting to come out and they're being explored in some city populations and in different cities where sort of retirement communities are co-located with daycare. And so that people who are moving into retirement can assist with helping with the kids. And so it bridges
generational gaps.
It keeps people engaged, right? Like it's two birds, one stone kind of thing. And so this sort of feels, I like what you're doing here with the two birds, one stone of it. Like
yeah.
These people do need to get to these faraway locations. And so we're going to take you with these people that are already going there.
Yeah. And they're going to go there quickly.
They're going to interact with you. And then you're going to get your own experiential field learning. And then you're going to go and interact with other people. Like just the very fact of keeping learning grounded with real people is very cool.
Yeah. There you go.
I like that.
All right, Ethan, tell me about your idea.
No.
Okay. Well, this was a good episode. What stuck for you?
So I am actually going to pivot very quickly. I'm going to 86 the Zen Buddhism
okay.
idea because I was thinking through it. Basically, the idea of it was just going to be a, you kind of fucked me over. It was going to be a, how do we evoke magic out of ourselves and then sort of learn to control it more through, not through study, but through
meditation
and emotional understanding. But then you mentioned the fucking Xavier School, which is sort of the same thing and sort of undercut my whole idea. So fuck
this,
you.
This whole time you've been being like, fuck, I don't have an idea.
Yes, no, I have. Except I did have an idea because
we usually come with multiple.
We do. This is an idea. So this school is a little bit inspired by the Jedi Temple. You know, I like the idea of a master and an apprentice, right? This is a very fundamental idea in, let me rephrase, pre-Hogwarts. This was a very fundamental concept of magical education. It was a wizard and the wizard's apprentice. Right. It was a guild. It was a trade that you could learn. Right.
Yes.
The you know, Yen Sid, which is Disney backwards, the wizard apprentice, Mickey Mouse was a wizard apprentice. It was this whole thing.
Yeah.
Right. I want to bring that back a little bit, but I do want to go again towards the Jedi Temple route where there are lots of people mingling with lots of masters. When you enter the school and the author can choose what age it is. If you want it to be 11, whatever.
That was the only option. If you want it to be 11, whatever.
If you want it to be 11, 15, 17, 20, I don't care.
Okay.
Make it up. No one gives a shit. What I want is for the master that you are paired with to be a future version of you.
Okay.
Like really thinking, all right, we've got magic here. Let's have magic actually change some things.
Yeah.
Right. And at each natural breaking point, I'm imagining a structure similar to, you know, you have elementary school, middle school, high school, right? There are natural break points, and maybe it's every year, but at every year you sort of enter into, you are given a glimpse into the multiple divergent paths for your future based on the choices that you've made.
Okay.
This past year with your current master. And then you get to pick the next version of yourself that will be your master.
Oh, okay. That really brings this idea home for me. Because I was like, okay, yeah, this feels similar to like a thing we did once before. But then
it's the branching reality.
And it's every year you do it again where you say, all right, now here's another choice.
Right.
It's like a video game dialogue tree. Where it's
basically,
like,
yeah.
But you do that for your own life once a year and it's all like, yeah. And you choose, I want to go that route. And
right.
then the version of you that is that version, it's like,
it exists only because of the choices that you've made in the past year.
So they just predict and play out every future in a multiverse basically. And then tell you, and then are like, this is the version
magically literally plucking that version of reality from
the multiverse
and pulling it to teach you for a year.
Yeah.
And then you going through and making the choices that you make, you're not guaranteeing that you're going to become that person.
Yeah.
They're just the ones teaching you. You're still an individual making your own choices.
And you have different experiences leading up to that.
Exactly.
Than they do. But that's really cool. Because then you get to constantly kind of like, imagine when you have a ball of snow and you're like, you know, moving around your hands and you're just polishing the different edges and all that. You're just doing that constantly where you're polishing. You're just like, oh, I kind of want to compensate a little bit this way. I'm going to polish a little bit more on this side. I'm going to get this thing now and this thing, and just slowly polishing the whole thing until you make a perfect snowball.
Yeah.
Like
you just, and sometimes it breaks.
Yeah. And sometimes you fuck it up.
If
sometimes
you press you too hard, it just like, poof.
Or you have like a weird shape because you went too hard with one specific pathing that you like, you didn't pick any balancing out paths. So you just went too far in one way. And then it's just
electives are important.
Yes. Electives are important. All equal education.
Correct.
Pick all the things, become a well-rounded individual, the liberal arts, baby.
Or don't, but do so, but do so deliberately.
Yeah. 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 Like you have the potential. Now let's bring in the annoying PTO parent.
Very deliberate use of the word potential there, I'm assuming, on your part.
I don't even remember using the word potential.
You just said potential.
I don't remember. The annoying PTO parent coming in and saying, oh, well, I know what's best for my child. I should pick their curriculum. Mm-hmm. And
I should pick the future version of them that teaches them this year.
Does the child, like, is there a friction for the kids picking it versus anybody else? Because what does the kid know?
I think that's a good question. I hadn't thought that far ahead.
Especially, maybe that's a question of what age do they start it? Because if they start it like at 18, then who cares?
Yeah.
But if they started at 10, maybe a little bit dicey. Because also, I don't know that I would trust a five-year-old to decide.
No, I wouldn't trust a five-year-old. I think, let's say that up until 10, you're still going through basic magical education. Because, like, you need to know.
It's like there's the initiation, the change that happens. It's like when you enroll in high school and then all of a sudden things feel a lot different. But it's in this case, it's because you have now enrolled in this multiverse mentorship program.
Basically, yeah.
And you've transitioned from being, it's like when you go from being in high school to being in college and you're like, what is with all this freedom and this
right different... now I have choice.
And also I go to class like once a week for this class, not every day. And like the shift in how you get educated. And maybe that's like, it's, this is a thing that happens. Like you get the typical magical education up until 18 and then you're like, okay, or like 17 or whatever. And now you're like, okay, now here's what you get.
Well, and I think it's more, I think that, and the other thing that is subtly inspiring this is more the martial art belt system, because everyone always thinks like, oh, you get a black belt, that means that you've mastered it. No, that means that you're ready to start learning because you've finally mastered all of the basics to a sufficient level. Like that's what a black belt actually means. Hmm. Not that you have mastered karate.
Yeah.
It means that you...
I have, though. You know.
I know you have. You practice in front of the mirror a lot, so...
Every day.
Every day.
I don't have... I don't do my job. I just do
karate. Karate.
Like a Pokemon. I just say, karate, karate. Karate. My apartment's just mirrors for this exact reason.
I know. It's weird. It's very weird recording in here because of that. But so I think like that education is meant to get you through the basics so that you are ready to then start learning.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you start branching out. And so are there parents that might be involved? I think, yeah, probably. I think just like in a normal education, like you'd sort of figure it out.
Well, okay. So here's where I would maybe really push hard for it should be later that you get the mentor thing because the version of your, like, you don't become, I think, unique enough. And you're like, it's like you need to just also do like the basic human development up and like, it's like, how different are you from ages 18 to 19 to 20 to 21, 22, like versus earlier on, they're just like biological changes, but like intellectually, the changes are quite minimal. And you're like, and you're so malleable that I don't, and you would be so easily persuaded by whatever mentor you pick where like, you might go like much like the shaving of a snowball analogy. You'll like that. If you're like 15, that's like taking a fucking whole razor blade through it versus later on you can be like a bit more gentle because your brain development. And so, that's like, you know, you could, this is world building, you can do whatever the fuck you want, but I'm just saying.
So maybe the rule is
two.
A master and an apprentice.
Yeah.
Maybe the rule is the first mentor you have is always from, it's sort of like a 6 degrees of separation where there are, you know, the multiverse is nodes on a map. Like there are different diverging realities and branch points. Your first mentor has to be, can be no more than one node away from you. Like it has to be from the closest diverging branch.
Interesting.
Right. And then each year you gain the ability to go more branches away from your current reality.
Now that we're talking about this, I'm like realizing how far in the weeds this is mechanically that yes. probably will never be relevant in a story building.
Never.
In a story. I just want to, so like, I'm going to summarize a bit, I think, which I think will be helpful, that from like a world building perspective, how this would manifest is you have a mentor. Mm-hmm. That mentor is a future version of you.
Correct.
And every year you get to choose which future version of you is your mentor for that year.
For the next year. Correct.
And like take the image that I think probably anybody can have of that, like, you know, in a movie or TV where someone sees the alternate realities of themselves.
Yeah.
And they're all in the room together with you and they're all like interacting with the character and like, you know, the fantasy of it. And just put that into your world.
Absolutely.
And make it a systematic process and not like played for laughs in any way.
Yeah.
And you're done.
Like no, that's literally it.
It works super well. And I think all of the mechanics of it are just kind of like, they're fun for us, but like,
yeah.
they're not relevant really in a world.
And it creates the opportunity, I think, for some interesting storytelling because it's, are you choosing someone because you want to be like them or because you want to avoid being like them?
Or because you think, hey, that seems different than what I got last time.
Right.
And I am just curious what that, because it's, say it's four of them feel a little bit similar and like the nuance isn't super present in the initial presentation of them in this yeah. like choice moment. And the other one's like, oh, that's clearly very different.
Right.
I am. Like, that's
I'm in cooking school right now. How did I end up a dictator over here?
Okay,
I'm going to pick this one because I'm very curious now.
Yeah, I'm very confused.
I do not understand. I had so many questions.
Yeah, that's like
an extreme example, but it makes the point.
Yes.
But, so that's the idea of the school, is the school is very much structured generally day to day, like the Jedi Temple. You do still have some classes and stuff, but each person is paired with a master, with a mentor.
Yeah, yeah.
And that person is, that mage is a future version of themselves. Kyle, press start on that microwave.
Beep. Okay, so similar to my concept earlier where I wanted it to be like a place people can interact with in a way, I was thinking this is very steampunky.
Mm.
Trains.
So trains. That's cool.
There is a big central train station tower, whatever, this big building at the center of the world, essentially, which is this wizard school that is the hub of all train traffic because they are the ones who invented the trains and they run the trains, and the trains power much like an elevator or any sort of that kinetic energy that's being built. They're using that to power a variety of like magical apparati that are within this magic school. So they're like, there's a give and a take, but then they are also like venerated. They have created a situation where they are seen as like deities because they are operating this grand thing and they are the center of it all.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I had a hard time deciding if that was my main idea or my
this one. I have questions. I would maybe one day we'll do a
sequel and this is the main idea.
And that would be because I've a lot of questions, and it also very steampunky. It makes me think like, oh, you could also do this like the clock minder, right? Like whoever.
Yeah, there's definitely a great clock tower. There's a big ass clock at the top.
It's there. I'm kind of envisioning it now.
Yeah, me too. I'm liking it more the more I sit with it. Yeah. But all right, minutes up, go.
Bing. Why? And I know it's young adult fiction. I don't care. It's always fucking high schools. I'm so tired of high schools and colleges being like the standard for, like, what does a PhD program look like for in a magical world? That is my, I want to get down deep into that.
Okay.
I want it to be a combination of, you have these absurd philosophical studies and also very, very intense field work. I want to get people out of the classroom and I want there to be a final project. And that is what I like most about this, is that the master's and the PhD part of it, the final project, if you think of a mastery, a master's program is like you're supposed to master your subject. The PhD is you're supposed to add to the field. So if you are a, like, is your final project, are you creating a living being? Like, what are you doing?
You create a new spell?
Yeah. Like, how do you...
Every new spell is just a creation of a PhD student.
Exactly.
I like it.
That's it. It's just, it's this, it's the same...
You could apply it in literally any magic system, just go another step further.
Correct.
And explain it.
Because that actually came about of the origin of... It was an idea that I had for an Origin of Monsters episode, where all monsters are just failed experiments.
Yeah. Yeah, cool.
That's it. So just master's and PhD programs. I'm sick of the fucking high schools. I want some master's and PhDs. I want to see how magic is created. I want to see how it's evolved. Like, that's what I want to see.
Cool. I like it. All right. What's stuck for you?
I really like that idea.
Don't you love it when, like, it's the last thing that we each say where we're like, I love what I just said.
I love that. I love what I just said. I'm like, I want to know how magic is created. Like, because you think about it, let's even go back to Harry Potter for a second. Right, Snape in The Half-Blood Prince, you find out he invented the Sectum Sempra spell. How did he do that? What was the process of doing that? I want to know more about that. That's the only spell we hear of being invented in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Everything else just sort of exists, yeah. Right? So I really like that. I also like, I'm big on field learning. I'm big on experiential learning. So what you did is...
Right up your alley.
Right up, like, the learn by doing. It's the, you know, I don't want to learn about, I'm sticking with the glacier thing. I don't want to learn about ice magic making snowballs in a classroom.
Yeah.
I want to learn about ice magic, like, trying to stop an avalanche.
Yeah.
Like, very, like, that, you know, it's sort of like, I don't want to learn about chemistry in a classroom. I want to learn about chemistry doing food or... being a mortuary or something, right? Like,
yeah.
Something practical.
Yeah.
I like practical education. So that's where you're sticking with me.
Okay.
What cool. Stuck for you?
I am questioning, do I regret my choice for which was the main idea? Because I really, as I was explaining my train idea, I was like, I do like this a lot. I do want to talk about it now. So it's sticking with me because it's like,
it would also fit with the magic school bus theme.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I was on the train while I was thinking up my ideas today. Can you notice? I wasn't.
What's your magical school? Overpriced hamburgers.
There were no hamburgers. It's the Metro.
Education. Oh, so it's just a disembodied voice shouts instructions at you.
But so, but what I was going to say is that the... What stuck for me is like the fact that I want to keep going with that idea, which is always a great sign of an idea. It's like, oh, I want to investigate that further. So that one's definitely sticking
when
for me.
When you're teetering on the abyss of, about to fall deep into the abyss of imagination. Like,
yeah,
I love that feeling.
I'm like, ooh, I'm there. I'm like, oh no, we got to back out. And then I think it's the idea of the having the annual choice to pick which version of yourself is going to teach you is really cool. And because I love the visuals of it, like, yeah. In my head, it's such a perfect visual in like a video game,
yeah.
In particular, but like, it doesn't really work for the story, like the story of a video game, it wouldn't really work that well, necessarily. But, yeah, like just seeing the five different versions of you, like, which one do you want to be? And right. Then doing that again, like next level or something in a video game.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's a really cool, cool take on the multiverse,
yeah.
Where it's not fighting the fact that there is a multiverse. It's like in the most recent Spider-Man movie where they embrace the multiverse. Yeah. They have three versions of Peter Parker together.
Yeah.
And
they're talking about their differences and their similarities.
Yes.
I have not seen this. This is just from what I've heard.
From me, yes. I think specifically.
Yes.
And I really enjoyed that. I think this hits on that in a really good way, that like that type of storytelling is compelling as shit because it's people who like have the absolute best interest in mind of that person because it's them.
Right.
Like we are the only people who have our own interest in it, like truly.
Or should.
Yeah. Ideally. So it's like having multiple versions of yourself who are like, who are advising you. Incredible.
Yeah. No, it's like, it's an expression of that internet, you know, Reddit question of what's the one piece of advice you would give to you at 15?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But imagine if you could do it at 15, 16, 17, and 18.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, well, that's what stuck for us.
Let us know what stuck for you.
Thanks for listening.
Class is dismissed.